Hello everyone, I'm Shayan Ahmed Khan, and here's Saurabh Somani, who's making his debut for Good Areas today on the podcast, and he's an editor with the team. So Saurabh, how are you feeling?
I am feeling like Nathan McSweeney facing Jasprit Bumrah.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about the two teams that have made the eliminator, that is Gujarat Titans and the Mumbai Indians. I think we'll start with Gujarat Titans. So Saurabh, what do you think has been the lasting memory of this season for the Gujarat Titans so far?
You mean apart from Sai Sudarshan's on drive?
Exactly.
It's that drive at the top, no? Gill, Sudarshan, Josh Butler, and also Prasidh Krishna, particularly. Yeah. He's almost an unsung hero. He has a good argument. I think we've discussed this. He has a good argument to be bowler of the tournament.
Yeah.
And, when you talk Gujarat Titans, nobody talks beyond the top three. So this is our chance to fly the Karnataka flag high and Prasidh Krishna.
He has been outstanding.
And I've really liked, his control of length and even pace. I remember one game, I don't exactly remember which one, but he bowled basically low 130s the entire game, whereas he's a 140s bowler. He realized that slowing it down and digging it into the pitch in that game was working, and he just did that. And you can't think of any other IPL season where Prasidh Krishna would have strung together so many consistent performances over such a long time.
This is by far his best season in the IPL. And we've always known that he's had the potential, right? Like if you remember back in 2020, Virat Kohli also identified him as this sort of prospect for the 2020 Australia World Cup that was due to happen, which didn't because of COVID. But then the talent was always there with Prasidh Krishna. And now we are really seeing how good he can be at his best.
We forgot actually, one thing that will also stay with me is that Sai Kishore has bowled in every single one of the 14 matches Gujarat have played. And he has bowled a total of, guess how many overs he has bowled? He has bowled 14 matches, every single match he has bowled.
He would have bowled 32 overs or something like that, I think.
That's pretty good. It's 38.3.
I had the tab open in front of me. I didn't check it right now, but
it's less than 3 overs a game, and he has been like their, he has their best strike rate. He has a better strike rate than Prasidh, and it's less than 3 overs a game.
Understand. He has what, 17 wickets, in 14 games. That's brilliant stuff from him. Again, it's not like the sort of numbers that you would expect from a left-arm finger spinner, right? But this has not been that sort of a season anyways. We've also seen Krunal Pandya, another left-arm spinner, who has been a strike spinner in some ways. So, do you think, like, is there a particular reason behind it, or is it just a bit random? Maybe batters are looking to attack left-arm spin more in this season, and because of that, they're taking more wickets, or is it like a difference in their length lines?
I don't know. I don't think it's something you can say as a blanket
as a
statement
whole.
That all left-arm spin. I think it's just these two have had a good season. But what is not Fair random enough. Is that Shayan managed to bring up RCB within like 1 minute of the podcast, even though we are talking about Gujarat Titans and Mumbai Indians.
Exactly.
All for it. We should talk about RCB. They're playing qualifier one today.
Absolutely, man. So talking about the Gujarat Titans top three, Each of the three batters have had an outstanding season, but now they're not going to have Josh Butler, and that is definitely a huge miss, isn't it?
I think Josh Butler not being there just alters their whole dynamic, right?
We'll have
to see how, unless Gill and Sudarshan can do their 10 wicket win for three matches in a row in 5 days against the three best teams of the teams. IPL. With three matches in 5 days at two different venues. There's a reason why teams who make the eliminator don't win the IPL. It's damn tough.
True.
So they'll have to alter their whole game plan, I think. I don't know. What do you make of what do you think they'll do, Gill and Sudarshan? Will they just continue as before, or will they be a little more conservative?
Because this is the same thing that I was thinking, that maybe they pull it back a little more, like, because they now know they have even more responsibility on their shoulders, and they now have Kushal Mendes as the player that they've signed in as a replacement for Josh Butler. And so I was looking up his numbers. He did have a good PSL this year. He struck at 168 in the PSL. And apart from that, like, of course, he's nowhere close to the quality of Josh Butler, but he is an attacking batter himself. And so maybe if these two can bat a little longer, and Kushal Mendes, if he has that cushion, he can look to bat freely, and he is also opened in T20 cricket, so if, let's say, there's an early wicket, he could come in. But then you still need one of their top three to play till at least 15-16 overs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, actually, I think that's very important. Yeah, you will need one of... I mean, actually, you need one of the top two to play till the 15-16 over, I would say. That one of them needs to be there because you don't have that sort of confidence and faith in the middle order. Na, ki they'll do it. That they will be able to take it. If let's say they're 30 for two, then... Yeah.
Yeah. And interestingly, but we have to talk about Sherfin Rutherford as well, right? He has also had a pretty decent season himself. He scored 267 runs in 10 innings and he's striking at 157. So I think Gujarat Titans will take that for sure.
Sherfin, actually, he has had, maybe it's not fair to say subpar, but a quiet season in the IPL compared to what he has done in T20s over the last 12 months and a bit. He has been on fire, actually, in T20 cricket. He has lifted his game to actually a different level than what it used to be. Maybe it's this IPL has something to do with the fact that the top three have been taking, you know, exactly. so many runs. So maybe this is his time to shine. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even in ODI cricket, I believe he was Cricketer of the Year, I think in 2024. As far as I can remember.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure about that. So you're right, actually. Sherfin Rutherford was striking at 172 in the IL T20, although that was again from just 8 innings and 115 runs. But yeah, I think Sherfin Rutherford is going to be very crucial now. And then there's Shah Rukh Khan as well. So these are the players who will have to really step up in the absence of Jos Buttler, right? And what do you think about Rahul Tewatia and Washington Sundar? Like, do you think Gujarat will try some funky tactics, maybe promote Washington Sundar up the order? And I think that's still very reasonable, right? In this situation, it would make sense if they want to utilize Washington Sundar's batting, like as this cushion of sorts.
I think if an early wicket falls, maybe it still makes sense. But would you want him to come in at 10 or 12 overs, or would you rather Sherfin, Shah Rukh, Tewatia?
Yeah, no. After 10 overs, I think it makes sense to go with the batters that have had more game time. But Washington Sundar, in case of a collapse, he's that sort of a batter. And we saw that one innings, right? He played a good innings against the Sunrisers when they had lost two early wickets. So I think in that sense, their batters have actually stepped up at their other batters have also stepped up at times when they have been required to. But I think not having Jos Buttler...
Shah Rukh made a 50 also.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. I think it was in it must have been against... It was one of the games after the break, I think.
Yes, yes, after the break. It was the first match where all three of them failed, you know. Like, they had never been, I think, it was a stat, they had never been 100 for
I think it was against Lucknow, yeah. It was against Lucknow.
So, he did make a 50 in that game. The thing is, if a Jos Buttler makes a 50 from number 3, you know that he can make that same score, same aggression, same consistency next 2-3 matches. We don't know that about Shah Rukh. He could, but we don't know that about him, and he has not really had those kind of opportunities to show that he can do it consistently. Yeah. So there is that question mark will always be there in the absence of Buttler, I think.
Absolutely. And then we have to talk about their bowling as well, isn't it? So we talked about Prasidh Krishna and the fact that he's had a very brilliant season. But what do you think about Siraj? Because Siraj is another bowler who we know that on his best day, he is absolutely destructive. He can take 3-4 wickets. He can take wickets in clusters and have this game-defining performances. But then when it's not his day, he can go for 45 runs, 50 runs as well. So him coming good is going to be, I think, really, really important for the Gujarat Titans, isn't it?
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
It's a typical Siraj season, right? He has been brilliant 100%. At times, and he has been ordinary at times, which is basically Siraj's career in one sentence.
Actually, that's right. So he's basically had two games where he's taken 4 wickets and 3 wickets, then another 2 games where he's taken 2 wickets. And in each of these games, his economy rate has also been pretty decent. So I think when he's bowling well, everything's going well for him. He's also not going for runs. But then again, when he's not amongst the wickets, there have been multiple games where he's gone for over 12 runs per over, 11.75 runs per over, and that sort of a return. So that is something which they will have to be wary of, because Rashid Khan has also not had a great season, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rashid season has sort of surprised us all in a way. He didn't have the peak Rashid season last IPL, but you never thought it'll fall so much, even though, you know, there are maybe decent reasons. He's had his injury issues, he's had, and everyone is allowed to lose form at some point, you know. It's just that Rashid Khan has not done it for 7 years, so it looks like it looks a shocking thing. But he's allowed to, you know, except for Jasprit Bumrah. Jasprit Bumrah is not allowed to lose form because just the forces of nature don't allow it. He's too good.
Absolutely. But Rashid Khan not having a great season is definitely a part of Gujarat Titans. Like, they would hope that, and of course, he's an experienced player, right? So come the big games, come the playoffs, I think he has that pedigree in him that he's just probably going to fix it. And like, he has that in him that he can absolutely turn the game on its head in a big game. And he can do it with the bat as well, even with the field if required. So like, his all-round value...
Would you put money on him doing well with the ball?
See, the thing is that, like, of course, his bowling has been a bit off, so I'm not very confident about it. But then let's see. Like, I think if it's a big game, they need him to perform. He has that in him. I'm not so sure if he can do it this time. But at some point, maybe he steps. If let's say, Gujarat win the eliminator and then they get to the qualifier too, maybe he has a good matchup against him. And then who knows what can happen.
Yeah, so, like, I wouldn't put money on him. But I would say, you know, he's one of the greats. So, you never count out the greats. But I would still not put money on him.
Right. Then they also have Arshad Khan, who has also had a decentish season, not great, not very remarkable, but then he can bowl with the new ball. And I think with Rabada also not being there, I think that's also going to play a part, isn't it?
Yeah, but they have, I mean, anyway, you know, Prasidh has been their lead bowler. And
yeah, no doubt about it.
Sai Kishore has been their second best bowler, even though he has bowled so few overs. And Siraj on song would... I don't think Rabada has done anything extraordinary this season.
Yeah, no, Rabada hasn't played much only. I'm saying it from the perspective that if you have a fit and firing Rabada, then you have another new ball option, isn't it?
Yeah. That you do. Arshad Khan can also, I believe, you know, hit a few down the order, so...
Even Arshad Khan can bat a bit. You're right.
Although, if you're depending on Arshad Khan's batting to bail you out, you are in some trouble. So, I don't know.
That's true. So, I think, what game do you think has been, like, the classic GT game this season for you?
The classic GT game? I think all of their initial, like, what, 10,
every game
matches,
felt very similar. Every game felt very similar, didn't it? Like,
exactly.
Whenever they were playing, it just felt like, okay, they're going to make runs.
The one game where I was absolutely a little gobsmacked was when they won by 10 wickets chasing 200.
Because they made it look so easy.
No, and more than that, it's like it flies in the face of, you know, physics almost, that every action should have an equal and opposite reaction. If you are scoring that fast, you should not be that consistent. And if you are that consistent, you should not be scoring that fast. But these guys were just doing it. Until they failed in the last two matches where some sort of rebalancing has happened. It was just flying in the face of all cricketing logic and everything. So that maybe is the one match for me where, you know, they just kept on and on and on doing it. But it's like, it's strange. You know, you think about it, Gujarat Titans for maybe 80% of the league phase were the front runners. And now they are... I'm sure they're the least favored amongst the four qualifiers to actually win it.
Yeah, especially with Butler not being there. I think that is one of their major players not being there. I think even Mumbai Indians, and we'll talk about them in the next segment shortly. Mumbai Indians, they won't have Rickleton, they won't have Jax. But then again, I think those players are still relatively more replaceable as compared to Josh Butler, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, losing Josh Butler is like for Mumbai Indians losing what... I mean, there is no equivalent. You can't say losing Sky.
Probably Sky.
No, Sky has been Josh Butler plus actually this year. So it's, but yeah, sort of like that. Or having Sky at, like, you know, operating at 20% of what he is.
That's also true. And Gujarat Titans, actually, they have the third best batting run rate this season. So it proves what you were saying about them being consistent and also scoring fast. So they are the third quickest scoring team. And I think that has gone down in the last couple of games. Last game, actually.
It messes up our idea of how cricket works, no? So, in a way, I'm glad that they failed the last two matches. Please don't come at me, Gujarat fans. It's just for the sake of cricketing logic that I'm saying.
Yeah. So, I think we'll take a short break here, and then in the next segment, we'll talk about the Mumbai Indians.
Sometimes you just need to take the slips out and bowl defensively. And you also need to be careful with your computer's defense as well. If you need a VPN, go Nord. NordVPN.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. So put in some dot balls and turn them into maidens via NordVPN.com/Kimber.
Hello, everyone. Now we're going to talk about the Mumbai Indians. So, Saurabh, yeah. I think it's the season again started in a very classic Mumbai fashion where they were losing games at the start. I think they had just one win in the first 5 games, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that one win was quite impressive. I think they beat KKR very handily.
Yeah. That was a proper convincing, dominating win that. But then apart from that, they were just not winning games. And
they had a couple of close losses also. So it's not as if, you know, they were...
So the Lucknow game, I remember. The Lucknow game and the RCB game were the 2 games, I think, that were a bit close. That they were in positions where they could have won. But it was often happening like one of their batters was just getting stuck. Maybe Surya Kumar got stuck a couple of times. And then even Tilak Varma had a couple of knocks where he was just batting a bit too slow than what you would expect them to. Right, so these were the things that were probably affecting them more than... And then Bumrah was not there for the first 4 matches. Once Bumrah came back against RCB, and then and even in that game, he had a good game, although they lost. And then after that, Bumrah's presence has been insane in them reviving their campaign of sorts, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that sentence would hold even if you ended it after 3 words. Bumrah's presence has been insane. 4 words.
Yeah.
It just encapsulates the guy. I don't know, we can spend several podcasts talking about him, but it's just amazing how he just keeps on and on and on doing it, you know. I know we'll talk about Sky also and his insane run of form, but to do it as a bowler in T20 cricket, match after match after match, even when he's not at his best, you know, it's
exactly.
Not like we are seeing peak Bumrah is what we saw in IPL 2024.
Exactly. And somehow he still has better or at least comparable numbers to that, isn't it? That is the crazy part here.
He's not at the 2024 level and he's still outstanding. So it's just, the guy is just
a cheat code to have. A player Jasprit Bumrah on your team, that is a cheat code. And India have seen that in the 2024 T20 World Cup. And Mumbai Indians, again, if they are to win the IPL from here, go on a winning run of 3 games, Bumrah is going to be very, very crucial, isn't he?
Yeah, so we talked about how, you know, difficult it is to win the IPL from the eliminator. Like, everyone knows this stat that Sunrisers Hyderabad are the only team to have done it. We'll not say against whom they did it. But they are the only team to have done it. But basically, if you are in the eliminator, you have to win a quarterfinal, semifinal, final. And it's not a traditional quarterfinal, semifinal, final because it is against the bona fide 3 top teams in the league. Because you had a league phase to arrive at these, games.
Yeah.
A league phase where everyone is playing each other, you know, once or twice and multiple times. So it's actually the 4 best teams who always qualify. And you have to beat 3 of the others, one after the other, across 2 venues in 5 days. 3 matches in 5 days across 2 venues against the best teams. It is, you know, but having said that, if there is a team that can do it, I think it is Mumbai Indians.
Because, I think because we know that they have done it in the past, right? Like that, I think that does definitely play a part when you know that these are the players.
They have not done it from the eliminator in the past.
Yeah, not from the eliminator, but I mean, like they have that experience of playing in big games and winning trophies.
And you have, I mean, who will bet against Bumrah and Sky having a great 5 days? Like, you know, it's very likely that they might. And then if these two have great days, then the others just need to chip in around them. And there is enough quality even without the guys who are missing.
Yeah. There's Hardik Pandya as well. So, and even he has had a pretty decent season himself. We must talk about him as well. So,
I don't know. He's been very up and down, I feel. Like, it's... He has had a few innings, like against RCB when he was hitting. That was, Hardik Pandya of, you know, 2017 Champions Trophy final.
Exactly.
Then when he's been... bowling,
but he's had good games with the ball too, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but with the ball, he has started bowling less and less, I think, in the second half.
Yeah. I think the second half has not been as great for him with the ball. That is a fair statement to say. But then again, for the season, he now has 13 wickets and he has and he has gone at an economy of 9.53. So I think that's pretty decent from your all-rounder, especially someone when you have the quality of Jasprit Bumrah and Trent Bolt and I think we have to talk about Trent Bolt, right? Like, he has been one of the best new ball bowlers once again this season. So he's now got 8 wickets.
I think he's been too expensive, Trent Bolt.
For his standards or in general?
No, maybe I'll be fair to him for his standards. I'm not sure general what his numbers are. I don't know what his true economy is. If you have it, then...
No. So I have the normal economy rates. And he's picked up 8 wickets at an economy of 8.38 in the power play.
Okay. Okay, that's...
And then Deepak Chahar also has 8 wickets at 8.67. So you still have two good strike bowling options in the power play for the Mumbai Indians. And now what that does is that means Mumbai are not forced to use Bumrah with the new ball, isn't it? And they can use him as they like. If those two are doing well, I think that gives them a lot of flexibility with the ball here.
It does, but those two somehow, those numbers you have read out are sort of decent. But I think they've been propped up by a few performances here and there because...
True. They've had a few like very good games as well.
The feeling of certainty that, you know, bankability, that okay.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
New balls with Bolt and Chahar, a Mumbai Indians team can rest easy a little. Like, it's always like, they could go for a lot of runs also, which used to not happen with Bolt actually. Even with Chahar, to be fair, but Chahar's form has tailed off a little bit last year also.
Yeah.
But it's not happening.
But I don't
board.
Think like an economy in the mid eights in this, like in 2024, 2025, it's not a bad return. I think I'll take that. And especially when it's among the top wicket takers. So, yeah. And so now the next question is what happens with Jack Hendrickson? So Andy here thinks that, and thank you for the super chat. So he thinks that Jack Hendrickson leaving will actually strengthen MI. They'll play Bevan Jacobs, who's a natural lower order batter, and move Tilak Verma to number 3, and nobody's beating Bumrah in a knockout game. The other three teams are missing key players. That is an interesting take. What do you have to say about that, Saurabh?
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I have been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
I think it has some merit, but see, Jacobs is a very raw, rookie.
Yeah.
So he might be a natural lower order bat, but it's a whole different ball game batting in an IPL playoff in front of a pack, this thing with so much that there is at stake and all, And Rickleton, lest we forget, has been Mumbai's second best batter after Sky.
We have to give him some credit for that.
There's daylight between Sky and the rest, but Rickleton is the next. He's the best of the rest. And losing him, and okay, they might get Bairstow instead of him. I guess they will, right? He's a natural wicket-keeping replacement and top-order replacement. But Bairstow, there was a reason why nobody bid for him in the auction, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, again, Bairstow, like we spoke about Rashid Khan. He has been great in the past.
Yeah, he has that talent and pedigree.
Nothing to stop him from being great again. But the thing is,
on his day, he'll score a 45-ball century, so...
But his day is coming with longer and longer intervals. It could still come tomorrow. It could still come tomorrow, but the probability is lower. So I'm not sure that it strengthens them, but I agree with him about the batting order bit because they had six guys basically who all fit in the top three. So they had to sort of juggle.
Yeah, Tilak was not like batting in his most ideal positions, I think, this season. Yes. And if Tilak Verma is at number 3, the position where he has done really well for India in T20 cricket, so I think that is going to be a really big boost for the Mumbai Indians. And so how do you see the combination shaping up from here? Like, do you think they'll get Bairstow in to open for Rickleton and Tilak at 3 and Bevan Jacobs? Is that how you see it?
No, I think they'll definitely get Bairstow in. And I think Tilak or Surya at 3... I mean, 3-4 will be Tilak and Surya. After that, I'm not sure whether they'll go Bevan Jacobs or who is the other guy they got? Asalanka?
They also have Asalanka.
Right.
Janet Asalanka.
So Asalanka offers a bowling option also. No, will Jack
exactly.
giving them. So now I don't know. Does Bevan Jacobs bowl? I have no idea actually. I know of him.
I'll be interested to see what Asalanka's performances have been like in recent times in T20 cricket. So I think from whatever I've followed Asalanka's career, I think he's a solid number 5 batter in ODI cricket. But I'd be interested to see how he fits in this Mumbai Indians T20 team.
Yeah, there's times when you watch Asalanka and you think, wow, what a talent, right?
Yeah, but correct.
He has not strung together enough consistent performances. for him to be like otherwise he would have been, you know, he would have been bought in the original auction. He wouldn't have been a replacement.
So in the ILT20 he makes 111 runs in 3 innings and he has a couple of noteworthy innings.
Okay.
One innings actually. He has 74 of 38 against the Dubai Capitals in the ILT20 and
I think I watched that.
That's one innings of note that I can see. Look at his career if you look at his numbers by year, that would be interesting. So last year he scored 611 runs in 33 innings at an average of 21 and a strike rate of 143. So I think that's going to be I think that's also not a bad option in a sense. Having him at number 5, like as Hrishikesh has also pointed out that Asalanka should play and he can bat at number 5 and he is a better spin basher than Will Jack. That is a very interesting take, isn't it? Because see, if Asalanka is also an experienced cricketer, we know that he's played a lot for Sri Lanka, and if he comes in at number 5 instead of Bevan Jacobs, that could be an interesting approach, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what. So that's why I don't know whether they'll go with Bevan Jacobs or Asalanka. And yeah. Andy has another point where he says Dheer bowls offies anyway. I think if you're thinking of Naman Dheer's off breaks as, you know, a bankable option, you're in trouble.
I
mean, Will Jax was actually bowling quite well. You know, so
Will Jax is in that Maxwell Livingston category of bowler. Maxwell, you know, Moin Ali to some extent. Moin might be a bit better than them in terms of wicket taking, but like you can rely on these bowlers for like a couple of overs in the middle. That really helps with the flexibility of the team, isn't it?
Look, Naman Dheer is young, so his bowling might improve later, but right now it's his batting that's his main suit. So of course that means he's going to take like a 3 for 20 tomorrow and prove us wrong, but it should be fun.
Absolutely. And imagine if it is Naman Dheer who triggers a collapse against the Gujarat Titans. That would be quite funny.
So now if we have time, then we should just talk about Jasprit Bumrah and then RCB.
But we should also mention their spinners, right? Like their spinners are also, we've talked about how great Bumrah is. And I actually have this one interesting stat on Bumrah since we were talking about it. So this season, in 6 out of the 10 games, Bumrah has gone at less than a run a ball. And this is not even like, it's not even looking like this is his best season, isn't it?
Wow, I did not know that stat. That is mind-blowing.
I think that's we'll end our cool Bumrah stats right there. And now we'll talk about their spin bowlers. So Mitchell Santner has had a very interesting season in a sense, isn't it?
No, I think he's had a very good season, you know.
He has had a very good season. But I think somehow in the early games, he was going for a few runs, also not taking wickets. But I think now he's really come into his own, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And
Couple of games, he's taken 5 wickets now.
And also, I feel they should, now that Will Jax is not there, maybe they will, but they should play Karan Sharma a little more regularly. You know, he has done well whenever he has come on. I mean, and he's a decent bowler. You know, he can be a good defensive wrist spinner.
Karan Sharma has also had a decent season. Absolutely. Yeah, he's picked up 7 wickets at 8.53 economy.
But he's not played a lot of matches. So
Correct. You know, just the 6 matches, I think. For him.
So he was injured in the middle a little bit, so that could have contributed. Mm-hmm. But
so they have the option of Ashwini Kumar as well, the left arm seamer. So I think that is something which they can be more flexible with depending upon the conditions, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be conditions dependent, maybe matchup dependent. But but that's what I was saying. Now they don't have Will Jax. So, you know, they could be more flexible with the conditions dependent thing because they had 2 spinners anyway. But now that they don't have 2 spinners, I think there is a greater likelihood of Karan Sharma, you know, getting game time, which will not be a bad thing. You know, Karan and Mitchell Santner are a pretty decent.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good spin combination to have in the middle overs. Yeah. And Santner, of course, we know that Santner is a bit more flexible. He can bowl in the power play as well if required. But I think it's probably not going to come to that unless the conditions and matchups decide that. So on that note, I think who do you think is more likely to win the eliminator? Which team do you think is the better team?
RCB.
all right.
Mumbai Indians.
Jokes apart, I think, even I think Mumbai Indians, probably with Butler not being there, even I think Mumbai Indians are the better team. And so they're more likely to win this game.
Definitely.
Okay, then. Thank you, everyone,
something special from, like, you know, either Gil, Sudarshan, or Prasidh.
Yeah.
Otherwise, absolutely. It's Mumbai Indians. Yeah.
Okay, then. Thank you, everyone. Thanks a lot for joining the live. And please go to goodareas.co and bookmark that website and subscribe, like, share to all of our work. Go and subscribe to all our channels, Good Areas with Jared Kimber, Good Areas Live, and the Substack and everything. Okay, bye-bye.
thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.